Tonight we're again going to be focused on using a little bit different format for this service, but next week we'll be back to our, I guess, normal, typical way. But I think what I'm going to do, in case any of y'all kind of like the coloring while you meditate, is I'll just have some sheets and some colors available when you come in, and if you kind of like that, then you can just grab them, but bring your flashlight because you won't have this much light like we have today. Our focus theme on Advent that we're going to focus on tonight is going to be love. The church is doing peace for week two, but I really liked the prayer model that the author of this book gave us under love. So we're going to do that. And we're going to do contemplative coloring with prayer prompts and suggestions for our times of silence. And these ideas are going to be located in your bulletin. So whenever we get to our times of silence, I'll touch base on a couple of them, but you can look there and see which one might meet your need for tonight. Feel free, you can choose to color while you meditate, or you can just sit in silence if you don't. But I would encourage you to color. I did it with my Monday morning Bible study group just to end our time together today. And one person who said she always had a hard time staying focused. Her mind would always go all over the place when she tried to pray. When she was doing the coloring, it kept her very focused on the prayer and her mind didn't wander as much. So even if it's not about coloring well, it's just about using it as a medium to let your mind just rest and relax to stay more focused. So give it a whirl. The message that typically comes towards the end of the service, for today's service, we're going to bring it up to the front, just to be able to set the stage for our Advent theme for today, and then also to talk a little bit about the form of a prayer that we're going to do, which is intercessory prayer, which is praying on behalf of another or something else. So all of the Advent meditative service content from last week and from this week, every bit of it is taken from Pastor Sharon Seifarth Garner's book. And I put both of them on the podium over there. You can look at them. She has the one that is dedicated to Advent, which is what we're using. She also has one that has similar prayer styles and different mandala things to color and different types of scripture to go along with it. So if you are interested in this sort of thing and you like it, I'm considering having her come for a night of meditative, contemplative coloring, and we'll probably go 2.5 or 3 hours and just try different styles. I met her actually Saturday, and it was a lot of fun, and you need to try her different styles. So you can look for that coming, hopefully, January, February, or March. So let's open in prayer. God of love, as we light our candles tonight, color these mandalas, and practice intercessory prayer, help us to be still and stay centered on you. May we set aside our fears and assumptions and learn to love as you have called us to love. Give us eyes to see your God spark in us and all those we meet. Amen. We're going to practice praying with mandalas. Coloring is a tangible way to pray. It engages our body and our mind and our spirit. And what's nice is the design of the mandalas is really simple because they don't want you to focus on like the tediousness of coloring. They just want you to be able to be free with it. So it becomes more relaxful and prayerful. So praying with mandalas is contemplative. And the reason we practice contemplative prayer is that we're trying to create a sacred space where we can be with God in stillness and so we can be in his presence. And contemplative coloring then is an opportunity to bring just a different new life and a routine to our prayer life. So let's look at our theme for this week, love. So love is the essence of who we are. God's love is reborn every single day when we choose to embody the love of God that dwells at the very center of our soul. And the author calls that our God spark. So I kind of like that. So we all have a God spark in us. So we are fully capable of giving love to one another because we were first fully loved by God. The relational thread of love binds us. We have God, we have ourselves, and we have other. And we get binded together, and we're woven into this beautiful tapestry that we call humanity. When we encounter only at the back of that tapestry, we see a holy mess. But amidst what may seem like chaos to us, God is weaving this spectacular masterpiece of love. So what does the tapestry of love look like? Paul describes love as patient, kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but it rejoices in the truth, which is, we all know from 1 Corinthians. The God spark within us empowers us to live out this divine love, to be patient rather than envious, kind rather than rude, and joyful rather than irritable. However, sometimes we choose to turn away from the image of God within us and respond. We respond not out of our best selves, but out of fear, anger, or hatred. When Jesus speaks of love and Paul writes of love, the word used in Scripture is the Greek word agape. And agape love is considered to be the highest form of selfless love. It's a profound loving kindness for another person. It transcends any selfish motives, and it strives to fully care for the needs of another person. It's as a fellow child of God. So sometimes we refer to acts of agape as random acts of kindness. That is, it's love offered without any expectation of anything in return. No expectations. We can share agape love with others in lots of ways. Agape can be something tangible, like when you take a meal to somebody who's sick, or shoveling a neighbor's driveway. Thank you very much. It can be sending a card to someone who's struggling, or donating our time and our talents and our treasures to an organization that's helping other people. Agape love, it can be even expressed creatively through coloring. As you're going to see tonight, it's going to be a form of agape love. Making a special gift or writing something for somebody is a form of agape love. Love is both a risk and a celebration, because we can never be sure what sort of holy mess we're going to experience in the process of weaving that sacred tapestry of love. But we dare you to love just the same. We also share agape love with others through what we're doing tonight, which is intercessory prayer. So intercessory prayer is a divine privilege. It's an opportunity to be in prayer with and for one another. So we connect on a deeper level when we prayerfully share our joys and our concerns, our laughter and tears, our strengths and our weaknesses with other people. And through these connections, we learn to understand others better, which in turn empowers us to love others better. But even so, intercessory prayer, it does present us with a lot of challenges. Once we experience a deeper understanding of other people and the longings of their hearts, a lot of times we want to do what? Fix them? We want to do that. Or we want God to fix it for them, whatever struggles that they're facing. However, we can rest assured that our job is not to fix others. Our job is just to accompany others on their journeys, to trust that God's love is going to find their way in their lives. We may not understand the mystery of how God's spirit work dances and swirls in our midst, but we're confident that it does. Sometimes we hear someone's prayer concerns, and we earnestly intend to hold that person in prayer, and then they kind of slip through the cracks, no matter our best intentions. So the author has discovered that coloring and using it as an intercessory prayer mandala is a way for her to keep track of prayer requests and keep them from falling through the cracks. So when we create space for a contemplative coloring and intentionally lifting someone else in prayer, we feel a power of connection to that person and a deep sense of gratitude for the time that we've actually spent praying for them. The author has prayerfully colored mandalas for somebody for their birthday and then actually sent it to them as part of their birthday greeting. She has used mandalas in praying for somebody as she walks along, people who are grieving, or praying for healing for someone, or to celebrate joys, and also to seek discernment on behalf of others. So the intercessory mandala design, it provides opportunities for us to prayerfully connect with others in meaningful ways. All the while, we're still centered in the love of God that unites us all. So this mandala is designed to help us focus our prayers. It can be on individuals, groups, or even an event. So there's a lot of ways that you can use it in intercessory prayer. So as we grow in our experiences of intercessory prayer, we often become more keenly aware of how meaningful praying for somebody close to us can be. It also is going to bring to mind how challenging it can be praying for someone that we don't agree with or who we dislike. Yet, our call is to love one another and to do that unconditionally. So intercessory prayer, it helps us live out this call by providing a tangible way to step out of our comfort zone and to love all of God's children, including those that are most difficult to love. Committing to this sort of agape love, it takes tenacity, perseverance, and a graciousness that can only come from God's presence in our lives. We aren't called to necessarily like every person we meet. But we are called to love every person that we meet, and we're called to love everyone, period. We are to share God's steadfast love with those that we don't like and with those who differ from us. His love is present to all people. We are all children of God, created in the image of God, and capable of loving as God loved us. So there are times, right, when we cross paths with family or friends or coworkers or church people, and with whom maybe we've carried past wounds or hurt feelings, unkind words, maybe there's some misunderstandings or past grievances. So then what do you do in situations like this? How do we have eyes to see the God spark in everyone else? Because everyone's got it. Intercessory prayer actually helps us have eyes to see all people as part of God's diverse, challenging, and lovely human family. It's actually the act of looking for God's image in everyone we meet is actually the first step towards seeing God's image in everyone. If we look at others with suspicion, we're already making up our minds to see the worst, and that's what we're going to find. If we look through a lens of fear, then that's what we're going to experience. But if we dare to look through a lens of love, it will become the foundation for all our interactions. We will find it easier to love others, family, friends, neighbor, stranger, ally, your enemy, when we actively look for God's image. Contemplative coloring is an act of tangible way to honor God's image in others through prayer. When we slow down and we pray for someone else, we empower the God spark in all of us to flicker and dance. When we focus our time in prayer on the needs of others, we're living into the agape love that we are called to embrace. We can color mandalas for people that we like. We can color them for people we dislike, for people who are like us and people who are unlike us. We can color for friends, for strangers, for neighbors, and enemies alike. And it's the blend of this contemplative coloring with intercessory prayer that draws us closer to God and to others in a powerful way. So the light of the world is coming, and we must let our God spark shine and to look for the God spark in others. So as to keep this light alive in our daily lives, we need to slow down. We need to let the candle light the way. As we continue through the season of Advent, can we release the pressure to do more and embrace the opportunity instead to love more? So tonight, as we spend time in silence, feel free to pray a form of intercessory prayer as you feel led. There are ideas on the bulletin to help you get started. For example, you could choose a person, and you can place the person in the center of the mandala. And then each heart that you see around it could represent a prayer concern, a joy, a celebration, or struggles that that person might be facing in different areas of their life. Then, as you color that area, like when I did one Saturday, I specifically wrote something in each one of those hearts, an area of this person's life. Then I went back and I colored, and when I was coloring, I literally was just praying for that particular thing in that person's life as I colored around that area, and then I would move on to the next one. Then another thing you could do is choose a group. For example, your total family or friends, a social injustice area, an organization, a church, a ministry, and then you can enter the group name in the center and then put different people that are part of that area or different aspects of a ministry in the hearts. And then you can pray as you go through it for those specific aspects of it. You can pray for an event by putting the event in the center and then praying for different aspects of that event. And it could be something like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, a family gathering, a school reunion, a business meeting, right? Anything that you feel that needs to be prayed for can plop in the middle. And then I thought, those were from the author, but I thought another way maybe to look at it is, in the middle you can put ways to be love in the center, and then ask God to show you ways that you could be love and get some different ideas, and each heart might be a way for you to be love and show love to others. You could also put yourself in the center and pray for your personal areas of growth and prayer concerns or celebrations. Or you can ask God what's keeping you from being loved to someone. So maybe there's someone in your world that you have some kind of disagreement with or a discourse with. And maybe you put ask God about that. And you put things in the hearts as you're spoken to around those. So you can write specific words in the heart. There's also a place you'll see a circle around, has a lot of space around the outer edge, and you can write words there or more people or certain prayers there. But just know that in our time, we'll do 3 sections of time of silence. You may not finish it, and that's okay. You can just continue it on in another prayer time with you. And the author actually saves all of hers, and they become like a prayer journal. So she just kind of hangs on to them, like puts a date on them, and then just can reuse them and pray again through them. So let's do our first reading tonight, and then you'll go right into some 5 minutes of silence. And this is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Our second reading. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. During the silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer and anointing for you or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do that as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or exit the worship center. Our final reading. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
When Jesus came and lived among us, he showed us what it looks like to truly love. He loved those he was with, loved those that he taught, those that he healed. He loved his disciples, and he loved each and every one of us so much that he conquered death so we might have hope for life everlasting. And it was out of that great love that he gathered with his disciples around the table. And he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, so that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and a feast at his heavenly banquet. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe we need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and necessarily dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I invite Becky Ford to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you wish.
Close tonight with a prayer that the actual author of the book wrote, and I liked, she collects nativity scenes from around the world, and she kind of thinks of everybody as a motley crew, like the type of people that Jesus hung with. So she wrote, "Prayer for the Season, a Motley Crew." "Hear us, O Lord, as we pray, for the shepherds who watch over us and tend to our needs, for the angels who remind us, don't be afraid, for the magi who bring wisdom from afar, for the innkeepers who show hospitality to strangers, for the unnamed bystanders who come to bear witness with no need for recognition, for the Josephs who step out of their comfort zone to show love, and for the Marys who deliver God's love in unexpected places. We are this motley crew gathering yet again around the manger this year. May we have eyes to see that God dwells among us still. The Prince of Peace is coming. The Prince of Peace is here. Amen."